Hello, knowledge seekers. In this episode of 20 Minute Books, we delve into Mythology by Edith Hamilton, a seminal work first published in 1942. This book escorts readers on a comprehensive journey through the captivating tales of Greek and Roman mythology, exploring their profound influence on centuries of art and literature. Hamilton masterfully summarizes the essence of these ancient stories, from the creation myths to the legendary Siege of Troy, providing listeners with a solid foundation in understanding these classical narratives. About the author. Edith Hamilton was an esteemed classicist and educator whose career spanned the early to mid-20th century, concluding with her passing at age 95 in 1963. She is celebrated for making the literature and mythology of ancient Greece and Rome accessible to a broad audience. Her ability to distill the complexities of antiquity into exciting and coherent narratives has made her works, especially on Greek and Roman mythology, highly praised and enduringly popular. Who should read mythology? This book is a must-listen for students of ancient history and classics, providing a clear overview of key mythological stories and their significance. Art enthusiasts who desire to deepen their understanding of classical mythology, inspired paintings, will find Hamilton's insights invaluable. Additionally, anyone looking to enrich their dinner table conversations with classical analogies and stories will discover a treasure trove of material in Hamilton's mythology. Join us as we explore these timeless tales that continue to echo through the corridors of history and culture. Mythology, Timeless Tales of Gods and Heroes. Introduction. Discover the legends that shaped the Western world, dive into the enchanting realm of Greek and Roman mythology, a treasure trove of tales that has laid the foundation for much of Western culture. These ancient narratives, brimming with the creation of the cosmos, divine squabbles atop Mount Olympus, the epic Siege of Troy, and the poignant tale of Orpheus and Eurydice, have captivated the human imagination for centuries. The influence of these myths is both deep and enduring, sparking creativity across the arts, from opera and tragedy to sculpture and painting. For many centuries, classical mythology and literature were integral to education, imbibing generations with stories that shaped their understanding of the world. Although this is no longer the common practice, the echoes of these ancient tales continue to resonate throughout Western culture. Whether encountered in literature or upon the marbled surfaces of museums, these stories hold a profound sense of connection to our cultural heritage. If you've ever found yourself in front of a masterpiece like Bernini's Rape of Proserpina, or a Greek vase depicting scenes of heroism and godly exploits, and felt a disconnect due to a lack of familiarity with the myths they portray, you're not alone. Many of us share the experience of appreciating the beauty of these works, while longing for a deeper understanding of the stories they tell. Embarking on a journey to explore the basics of classical mythology offers a solution. By acquainting yourself with these age-old stories, you unlock a richer, more informed appreciation for both ancient artifacts and the modern culture that they've influenced. In this exploration, you will uncover the Greek deity that artists and creatives should look up to for inspiration, the origin of the name for Athens' majestic Parthenon temple, and a cautionary tale on why teaching music to a certain Greek hero might not have been the best idea. Prepare to immerse yourself in the essential narratives that have become cornerstones of Western culture, and in doing so, discover a newfound connection to the world of art, literature, and beyond. Part 1. The Dawn of Existence. Before the Gods Breathed the Sky. In the mystic expanse of the universe, according to the ancient Greeks, a vast emptiness predated the cosmos, a void known as chaos, where neither gods nor humans had yet to emerge. This nothingness, a silent abyss, was all there was. Then, as if by a stroke of unfathomable magic, from the depths of this void, two entities arose: Night and Erebus. Within Night dwelled the essence of darkness, and Erebus was a domain where death reigned supreme. Together they birthed an extraordinary entity from an egg laid by night in Erebus. Out of the encompassing darkness and the all-enveloping death, love was born. A force so powerful it imprinted order upon the chaotic abyss. Love, in its primordial wisdom, went on to create light and day, further sculpting structure into the formless expanse. The intriguing aspect of Greek cosmogony lies in its lack of interest in the how. There was no divine architect sketching the blueprints of existence. Things simply came into being. Even the earth manifested itself without explanation, a spontaneous emergence, according to the verse of the poet Hesiod. Earth, personified as Gaia, then birthed the starry heaven, known as Uranos, equal in grandeur to herself. Gaia and Uranos, more than just celestial bodies, were entities with persona and agency. This personification blurred the lines between being and place, allowing for a rich tapestry of mythology where earth and heaven could interact as individuals with their own narratives. Their progeny were beings of monstrous form and great power, reminiscent of the fantastical creatures that populate tales from cultures across the world. But rather than beasts of scales and fur, these were creatures with markedly human traits. Among them, giants with 100 hands and 50 eyes each, cyclops with a singular piercing gaze, and the imposing titans. Yet discord marred this divine lineage. Uranos detested his children. That loathing sparked rebellion, leading Cronos the youngest to depose and mutilate his father, marking the beginning of a new era under his dominion, alongside his sister Rhea. But their rule was not without peril, haunted by a prophecy that he too would be dethroned by his offspring. Cronos consumed each of his children at birth, all except for one, Zeus, who was spirited away to Crete by Rhea. Zeus, destined for greatness, did not stay hidden for long. With the cunning of Prometheus, he challenged his father, culminating in a titanic struggle that saw Cronos and the remaining Titans overthrown. Zeus emerged victorious, heralding his reign as the supreme ruler of not just the heavens, but of Earth as well, reshaping the order of the world as was foretold. This saga of creation, betrayal, and ascendancy highlights the rich, nuanced mythology of the ancient Greeks, where tales of cosmic inception blend seamlessly with the personal dramas of gods and humans alike, setting the stage for a legacy that resonates through millennia. Part 2. When the Gods Walked Among Us, from Greek mythos to Roman cultus. The pantheon of Greek gods, with their distinctly human traits and behaviors, has long captivated the fascination of the world, embedding themselves deeply into the fabric of art and culture. Unlike the deities of many ancient civilizations, Greek gods were not seen as wholly otherworldly, but rather, they shared an uncanny resemblance to humans in both appearance and conduct. This portrayal starkly contrasts the divine representations of ancient Egypt, where gods were often depicted as colossal beings, amalgams of human and animal characteristics, embodying a transcendence beyond human reach. The Great Sphinx stands as a monumental testament to this, combining the head of a woman with the body of a lion, dominating the landscape with a formidable presence that suggests a divinity far removed from the human sphere. The ancient Greek poets, including Homer in his epic Iliad, laid the groundwork for this anthropomorphic view of the divine. In Greek culture, where human experience was the focal point of philosophy and art, gods naturally became extensions of the human world. This connection was so profound that places like the island of Cythera became destinations of mythological pilgrimage, where devotees could visit the birthplace of Aphrodite, born from the foam of the sea, intertwining the divine directly with the tangible world. Greek mythology served as a means to make sense of the unknown, offering rational explanations for the phenomena of the natural world through the personas of gods like Zeus, who, rather than being an all-encompassing creator, was specifically the deity of thunder. Across the Mediterranean, the Romans, known for their practicality and martial prowess, demonstrated their deep religiosity by embracing and adapting the Greek pantheon as their own. Roman religion already featured native deities such as the Lar, a guardian spirit of the household, and the Numina, gods associated with specific aspects of daily life and the natural world. However, as they assimilated Greek gods into their culture, these deities, like Saturn and Jupiter, seamlessly merged with their Roman counterparts, blending and harmonizing the characteristics and domains of gods from both traditions. This cultural exchange and assimilation result in a complex pantheon, where gods retain their distinct realms and attributes, albeit under different names and occasionally with slightly altered roles. The interaction between Greek and Roman religion illustrates not just a simple borrowing of divine figures, but a profound confluence of cultural and religious identities, shaping a shared heritage that continues to influence modern sensibilities. Navigating the intertwined pantheons of Greek and Roman deities might seem daunting, but understanding their origins, transformations, and the role they played in the lives of the ancients offers a fascinating glimpse into how humans have sought to define the divine in terms that resonate with their own experiences and aspirations. Part 3: The Olympian Family, a tale of power, intrigue, and divine dynamics. Navigating the intricate web of relationships and powers among the Greek gods can be a daunting task. So let's demystify this celestial hierarchy, focusing on their Greek personas to avoid any confusion with their Roman counterparts. At the zenith of divine authority resided Zeus, the almighty ruler of the skies, brandishing his iconic lightning bolt. Despite his formidable power, Zeus was not all-knowing or omnipresent. His strength simply outmatched that of his divine brethren. His two brothers, Hades and Poseidon, governed their own realms. Hades oversaw the shadowy depths of the underworld, while Poseidon ruled the expansive seas, his trident a symbol of his dominion over the oceanic expanse. Zeus's consort was none other than his sister Hera, the goddess of marriage. Hera's narrative, however, is tinged with jealousy and vengeance towards Zeus's numerous lovers and their offspring, depicting her in a less benevolent light compared to other deities. Zeus's progeny, through both legitimate unions and affairs, were gods of great repute and power. Chief among them was Athena, born from Zeus's head, fully grown and battle-ready. As the goddess of civilization and the guardian of Athens, which honored her with the majestic Parthenon, Athena's wisdom and martial prowess were unmatched. Apollo and Artemis, the divine twins born to Zeus and the Titan Leto, represented the embodiment of beauty, music, and the wild. Apollo, revered as the god of light and prophecy, communed with mortals through the oracle at Delphi, his sanctuary. Artemis, the huntress, protected the wilderness and its creatures with fervent dedication. The role of Hermes, another son of Zeus, was crucial in the divine order as the messenger of the gods, his speed and guile serving the Olympians' will across the heavens and the earth. In stark contrast, Ares, the offspring of Zeus and Hera, epitomized the brutal aspects of war. His ferocity and cowardice made him an unpopular figure among both gods and mortals alike. The lineage and origins of Aphrodite, the goddess of love and beauty, are subject to variation among the myths. Some stories depict her as a daughter of Zeus, while others recount her birth from the sea's foam. Regardless of her origins, Aphrodite's allure and influence were unparalleled, matched only by her marriage to Hephaestus, the divine blacksmith. Hera bore Hephaestus in a lone act of retaliation against Zeus, rendering him the sole god deemed unattractive among the resplendent Olympians. Nevertheless, Hephaestus found favor among mortals, his craftsmanship and patronage alongside Athena celebrated by artisans across the ancient world. As we tread through the annals of Greek mythology, it's fascinating to observe how these deities, from Zeus, Jupiter, to Aphrodite, Venus, intertwine and clash in tales that echo their complex relationships and the vast spectrum of human emotions and experiences they embody. The Olympian gods, with their feast of stories, continue to enchant and educate, bridging the mortal and the divine in a narrative as ancient as time itself. Part 4. Earthly Guardians. Demeter and Dionysus among mortals. While the Olympian gods often steal the spotlight with their celestial dramas and divine powers, the ancient Greeks and Romans held in high regard two deities whose realm of influence was firmly rooted in the earthly domain. These gods, Demeter and Dionysus, played pivotal roles in human lives, intertwining the divine with the daily in a way that resonated deeply with the ancients. Demeter, known as Ceres to the Romans, presided over the harvest and the cycles of growth and decay, weaving the fate of agriculture with her divine touch. The myth of her daughter Persephone poignantly illustrates Demeter's connection to the earthly realm and the changing seasons. As the tale unfolds, Persephone's abduction by Hades into the underworld leaves Demeter in a state of profound sorrow, casting a shadow of barrenness over the land. The crops wither and the earth lies fallow, a stark reflection of Demeter's grief. It is only upon Persephone's partial return to the world above, a compromise that sees her dividing her time between the underworld and her mother, that the cycle of seasons is explained. Winter embodies Demeter's desolation, while spring heralds Persephone's reunion with her mother, bringing with it rejuvenation and abundance. Dionysus, or Bacchus to the Romans, embodies the essence of wine and the vine's dual nature. Born from Zeus and the mortal Semele, Dionysus stands unique among the gods, straddling the mortal and divine with his mixed heritage. His domain over wine, a symbol of both joy and excess, reflects the ambivalence of his influence. Dionysus is a god of contrasts, capable of bestowing immense joy and revelry, yet equally adept at unleashing turmoil and madness. His portrayal captures the ancient Greeks' nuanced understanding of wine's capacity to elevate and degrade, symbolizing the broader complexities of human experience and nature's unpredictability. Demeter and Dionysus, through their myths and roles, offer a glimpse into the ancient world's rich tapestry of belief, where gods walked the earth and their stories were mapped onto the natural and human landscapes. Serving as bridges between the celestial and the terrestrial, they highlight the ancient people's reverence for the forces that shaped their lives, from the bounty of the fields to the pleasures and perils of wine. This intricate interplay of divine and mortal realms illuminates the enduring legacy of these earthbound gods, whose influence extends beyond mythology into the heart of human culture and understanding. As we delve deeper into the pantheon of Greek and Roman mythology, the tales of Demeter and Dionysus stand as reminders of the gods' profound impact on the ancient world, shaping not only the seasons, but also the very fabric of human existence. Part 5. Hercules, the epitome of Greek heroism. Heroes abounded in ancient Greece, each with a tale more captivating than the last, and every region boasting of its preferred champions. Athens prided itself on Theseus, the city's legendary founder who triumphed over the Minotaur, a monstrous amalgamation of man and bull concealed within the labyrinthine depths of Crete. Yet, amidst this illustrious assembly of valor, one figure stood unrivaled in fame and prowess, Hercules. Born of Zeus, the sovereign of the gods, and a mortal woman named Alcmene, Hercules inherited a strength unparalleled among mortals and gods alike. This prodigious physical power, however, was paired with a volatile temperament prone to destructive outbursts of rage, one of which resulted in the tragic slaying of his beloved music teacher over a bout of frustration with the lyre. Hercules's lineage and feats did little to endear him to Hera, Zeus's wife, who viewed his very existence as a stinging betrayal. Consumed by spite, Hera incited Hercules into a frenzy so severe that he unwittingly murdered his wife, Megara, and their children. The magnitude of this horror, once realized, provoked Hercules into seeking redemption for his actions. His quest for absolution led him to the wise king Theseus of Athens, though the city's residents recoiled at the prospect of harboring such a bloodstained figure. Thus Hercules sought the guidance of the oracle at Delphi, who directed him to King Eurystheus of Mycenae. Eurystheus would decree the 12 labors, tasks of such daunting peril and difficulty that they were deemed impossible for any mere mortal. Among these Herculean tasks was the daring capture of Cerberus, the formidable three-headed guardian of the underworld, and the apprehension of Artemis's elusive golden deer, not to mention the unenviable job of cleansing the Augean stables. The latter task, ostensibly a demeaning chore, was brilliantly overcome by Hercules, who rerouted two rivers to accomplish the feat in a stroke of ingenious problem-solving. After fulfilling these labors, Hercules sought peace in a new marriage to Deianira, only to face his eventual demise in a manner as dramatic as his life. Contrary to the prophecy that he would not fall to a man's hand, it was through Deianira's unwitting intervention that his end came. Deceived by the centaur Nessus, she presented Hercules with a robe, believing it imbued with a love potion. In reality, it was soaked in the lethal blood of Nessus, sealing Hercules's fate with a tragic close to a life marked by unparalleled strength, tumultuous passions, and a ceaseless pursuit of redemption. Hercules's legacy, encapsulated within his labors and his end, offers a mirror to the human condition, showcasing a spectrum from the heights of bravery and intellect to the depths of misery and betrayal. Through his story, the ancients explored themes of honor, atonement, and the inexorable nature of fate, cementing Hercules as the quintessential hero of Greek mythology. Part 6, A Melody of Love and Despair, The Tale of Orpheus and Eurydice. Greek mythology is a rich tapestry, woven from tales of triumph and tragedy, of gods and heroes, and of love and loss. Among these narratives, the story of Orpheus and Eurydice endures as a poignant testament to the power of love, transcending the mere mortal realm to touch the divine. Yet before we delve into their tale, let's first explore another myth that sets the stage for themes of unrequited love and narcissism, the story of Narcissus and Echo. Narcissus, known for his unmatched beauty, spurned the love of all who sought his affection, including the nymph Echo. Cursed by Hera to only repeat the last words spoken to her, Echo's longing for Narcissus remained unfulfilled, her voice echoing his rejection into eternity. Narcissus, consumed by his own reflection, ultimately met a lonely demise beside a pool, transforming into the flower that bears his name, a floral emblem of vanity and self-obsession. Against this backdrop of thwarted love, the legend of Orpheus and Eurydice unfolds. Orpheus, a musician of unparalleled talent whose melodies could sway the very course of nature, found his heart's match in the beautiful Eurydice. Their union, however, was cut tragically short when Eurydice succumbed to a lethal serpent's bite and was whisked away to the underworld. Driven by an indomitable will to reclaim his beloved, Orpheus journeyed to the nether realm, his lyre in hand, determined to soften the hearts of Hades and Persephone with his plaintive music. His plea was granted, tempered by a singular condition. Eurydice would follow him back to the living world on the condition that he not look upon her until they had both reached the sunlight. As they neared the boundary between life and death, anxiety gripped Orpheus. Unable to resist the urge to ensure her presence, he cast a fateful glance back at Eurydice. In that pivotal moment, their reunion was shattered, Eurydice vanishing back to the depths of the underworld, leaving Orpheus to face a life bereft of her companionship. The lament of Orpheus and Eurydice captures the essence of Greek mythology's exploration of human emotion, love's boundless reach, the agony of loss, and the dire consequences of defying fate. It exemplifies the enduring allure of these ancient stories, inviting reflection on the complexities of the heart and the timeless pursuit of love against all odds. Through the melodies of Orpheus's lyre and the silence of Eurydice's absence, their tale resonates with the universal quest for connection and the poignant beauty found in the depths of despair. Part 7, The Odyssey for the Golden Fleece, A Tale of Valor, Cunning, and Unforeseen Love. Long before the sorrowful tale of Orpheus and Eurydice unfolded, another legendary journey captivated the imaginations of the ancient world, the quest for the Golden Fleece. At the heart of this epic adventure was Jason, the destined ruler of Iolcus, whose path to the throne was obstructed by his cousin Peleus's usurpation. In a twist of fate, marked by an oracle's prophecy involving a one-sandaled man, Jason emerged as that foretold challenger. Compelled by his claim and under the guise of legitimacy, Peleus cunningly devised a perilous mission for Jason: to retrieve the illustrious Golden Fleece from the distant and mysterious realm of Colchis. This endeavor was not just a test of Jason's valor, but a death sentence cleverly disguised as an opportunity for glory. Undeterred, Jason assembled a pantheon of heroes, forming the celebrated band of Argonauts, named after their vessel, the Argo. This illustrious crew included figures of mythic strength and renown, such as Orpheus, Hercules, Peleus, and the sons of Boreas, bridging the mortal realm with the divine through their shared exploits. Their voyage to Colchis was fraught with challenges that tested the mettle of the Argonauts, from confronting the Harpy Scourge to navigating lands inhabited by formidable foes, including the dreaded Gyges and the warrior Amazons. Upon reaching Colchis, the trials Jason faced at the hands of King Aeaetes would demand more than mere physical strength and heroics. Tasked with taming fire-breathing bulls and sowing a field with dragon's teeth, from which armed warriors sprang forth, Jason's victory seemed unattainable. Enter Medea, daughter of King Aeaetes, a figure of divine intrigue and a sorceress whose heart was ensnared by the god Eros's arrow. Struck by an irresistible love for Jason, Medea became his unexpected ally, offering him the means to overcome the trials through magical ointments, cunning strategy, and her intimate knowledge of sorcery. With Medea's aid, Jason outwitted the bulls, bested the spawned warriors, and approached the final guardian of the fleece, a colossal serpent. Once again, it was Medea's sorcery that paved the way, her concoction lulling the guardian into a deep slumber, allowing Jason to claim the Golden Fleece. Triumphant, yet entwined by fate, Jason and Medea embarked on their return journey, their futures momentarily bound by victory and the promise of a shared life back in Iolcus. Thus, the story of the Golden Fleece weaves a complex tapestry of adventure, peril, and unexpected love, capturing the essence of Greek mythology's exploration of human courage, the capriciousness of gods, and the indomitable spirit of the heart in the face of daunting challenges. Part 8, The Epic Saga of the Iliad: Honor, Wrath, and Divine Machinations. The tapestry of Greek mythology is adorned with tales of heroism, treachery, and divine caprice, yet few narratives capture the imagination as vividly as the legendary Siege of Troy. At the heart of this ancient saga, chronicled in Homer's Iliad, lies an act of abduction that set the ancient world aflame. The catalyst for this monumental conflict was Prince Paris of Troy, who audaciously abducted Helen, the queen of Sparta and wife to King Menelaus. Outraged by this affront to his honor and to regain his queen, Menelaus marshaled a formidable coalition of Greek forces, launching 1,000 ships towards the Trojan shores, thus igniting a war that would echo through the ages. Among the ranks of the Greeks were figures of renown and valor: Agamemnon, the commanding king; Odysseus, the wily tactician from Ithaca; the mighty Ajax; and Achilles, the greatest warrior of his age, rendered nearly invincible by the waters of the Styx, save for his heel, his lone vulnerability. Opposing them stood the Trojan forces, led by the noble Hector, Prince Paris's brother and Troy's most valorous defender, revered for both his strength and his honor. Presiding over Troy's fate was King Priam, a man of deep piety, navigating the city's destiny amidst the turmoil of war. The gods themselves were far from bystanders in this mortal struggle. Divine loyalties were split, with Aphrodite, Ares, Apollo, and Artemis casting their support behind Troy, while Poseidon, Hera, and Athena favored the Greeks. Above them all, Zeus sought a precarious balance, his affections torn yet striving for neutrality. Divine intervention punctuated the conflict, most noticeably when Agamemnon claimed Chryseis, a daughter of Troy, inciting the wrath of Apollo. The god's fury manifested as a devastating plague upon the Greek encampment, tipping the scales in favor of Troy and casting a shadow over the Greek campaign. As the war raged on, the need for appeasement became clear. Amidst this turmoil, the seer Calchas held the key to lifting Apollo's curse, but feared for his life should he speak out. With Achilles's vow of protection, Calchas revealed that the return of Chryseis could quell the god's anger, setting the stage for Agamemnon's reluctant capitulation and illustrating the complex interplay of honor, pride, and the divine will. Thus begins the Iliad, not merely as a record of battle, but as an exploration of the human condition, framed by the whims of the gods and the fates of men. It is a tale of valor, of wrath, and of the inextricable bond between the mortal and the divine, offering a glimpse into the ethos of an ancient world where heroes and deities alike shaped the course of history. Part 9: The Twilight of Heroes and the Fall of Troy. The fabric of the Trojan War, woven from the threads of valor, spite, and divine intrigue, saw its pattern altered irrevocably with the personal affronts exchanged between Agamemnon and Achilles. The contentious demand by Agamemnon for Achilles' beloved captive led to the latter's withdrawal from the conflict. This act of defiance precipitated a cascade of events, influenced further by divine machinations, that would ultimately herald the war's grim conclusion. In response to her son's predicament, Thetis, Achilles' divine mother, implored Zeus to tilt the scales in favor of Troy, hoping to underscore her son's importance to the Greek cause. Zeus, despite his partiality towards Troy, crafted his intervention carefully to avoid open conflict with Hera, preferring the subtlety of dreams to influence the course of events. He envisioned that by sidelining Achilles, the Trojans could gain the upper hand, forcing Agamemnon to recognize his folly. And so, under the guise of a divinely inspired dream, Agamemnon launched a doomed assault on Troy without his mightiest warrior, a decision that culminated in one of the war's most ferocious clashes. The gods, initially active participants, were barred from the battlefield by Zeus, leaving the mortals to their fates. The Greeks, bereft of divine aid, found themselves recoiling in the face of a relentless Trojan advance. In a bid to reignite Greek hopes, Patroclus donned Achilles' armor and boldly led his compatriots into battle. This act of valor, however, was met with tragedy. Hector, the noble Trojan prince, vanquished Patroclus and seized the divine armor, a spoil that rendered him near invulnerable. The loss of Patroclus shattered Achilles's resolve, propelling him into the fray with a singular objective: to confront Hector. Their fateful duel ended with Hector's demise, dragged in contempt by Achilles, signifying not a triumph, but the harrowing onset of Achilles' own prophesied downfall. Fate, guided by Apollo's hand, steered Paris' arrow to Achilles' heel, the lone breach in his otherwise impenetrable defense. In this moment, the greatest of Greek heroes fell, his death a somber prelude to the war's conclusion. The final act of the Trojan saga unfolded not on the battlefield, but through Odysseus's cunning. The construction of the Trojan horse, a stratagem cloaked in the guise of surrender, sealed the fate of Troy. Concealed within, Greek soldiers emerged under the cloak of night, their silent descent heralding doom for the Trojans. Thus dawned the end of Troy, not with the clashing of shields or the rallying of armies, but in silence and shadow, as the Greeks exacted their vengeance, consigning the city to flame and ruin. This closure, steeped in bloodshed, marked the departure from the valorous tales of heroes to to the whispered lamentations of the fallen, echoing the transient glory of mortals and the inscrutable will of the gods. Part 10, Odysseus's Perilous Odyssey, a homeward journey fraught with divine retribution. The fall of Troy marked a pinnacle of Greek warfare, yet it was their tread back home, particularly for Odysseus, which unfolded as a narrative rich in trials and tribulations. Unbeknownst to the triumphant Greeks, their neglect to honor the gods in the aftermath of Troy's demise set the stage for Homeric tales of retribution and adversity, notably captured in Homer's Odyssey. Among the gods, Athena and Poseidon, despite their initial backing of the Greek cause, harbored wrath towards the victors for their oversight. Their divine displeasure cast a shadow over the Greek fleets, ushering a homeward-bound journey fraught with formidable challenges. Odysseus, king of Ithaca, bore the brunt of their wrath, his return extending into a decade-long odyssey that tested the zeniths of his wit and resilience. The first of his many encounters was with the Cyclops Polyphemus, a confrontation that underscored Odysseus's cunning yet incurred the ire of Poseidon, father to the Cyclops. The land of the Lotus Eaters presented a different peril, beguiling his crew with forgetfulness. Yet it was the island of Aea, where the witch Circe resided, that mirrored the dangers of enchantment. Circe's transformation of his men into swine was thwarted only by Odysseus's preparedness, armed with a protective herb bestowed by Hermes. The witch's spell reversed, Circe, charmed by Odysseus's immunity, aided their departure, albeit not without warnings of the trials ahead. Forewarned by Circe, Odysseus's next trial, the siren's mesmerizing melody, was navigated with a blend of courage and precaution, protecting his men with beeswax and his own resolve with the ship's mast. Through tempests and enchantments, Odysseus's return spanned an epic 10 years, culminating in his clandestine arrival in Ithaca. 2 decades had elapsed since his departure for Troy, time that had not dulled Penelope and Telemachus's hope, despite the kingdom's presumption of his demise. Odysseus's reunion with Telemachus, orchestrated by Athena, laid the groundwork for reclamation, a tactful ploy to expunge the palace of Penelope's relentless suitors. Penelope's own ruse, a challenge of strength and finesse involving Odysseus's bow, cemented the stage for the unfolding climax. The guise lifted, and father and son stood united against the usurpers. A tempest of arrows, loosed upon the unsuspecting suitors, heralded the purge of Ithaca's court, reinstating Odysseus not just as its king, but as a husband and father. Thus concludes Odysseus's Odyssey, a narrative embroidered with the whims of gods and the steadfastness of mortals. A journey transcending the clash of swords to echo the enduring strains of loyalty, wit, and the inexorable push towards home. Final summary. At the heart of Greek and Roman mythologies lies a vibrant universe populated by a pantheon of deities, mythical creatures, and human heroes whose exploits bridge the realms of the divine and the terrestrial. Unlike the deific tales from other ancient civilizations that often elevate gods into realms beyond human understanding, classical mythology portrays its gods in shapes and temperaments strikingly akin to those of humans. This human-centric view not only lays the groundwork for narratives rich in emotion and complexity, but also forges a profound connection between the myths and their mortal audience. These mythologies unravel a kaleidoscopic narrative fabric that effortlessly weaves tales of love and vendetta, of daring quests and heroic deeds alongside the inevitable tragedy of wars and the poetic justice of divine intervention. Through the sagas of iconic figures such as Odysseus and Achilles, and the timeless love stories of Orpheus and Eurydice or Jason and Medea, classical myths offer not just an escapade into the fantastical, but a mirror reflecting the spectrum of human nature and the perennial quest for meaning and identity. Embedded within these age-old tales are universal themes and moral quandaries that continue to resonate with contemporary audiences, transcending the boundaries of time and culture to touch upon core aspects of the human condition. Through the lens of Greek and Roman mythology, We glimpse the valor and folly of mortals, the whims and wrath of gods, all serving to illuminate the intricate dance of fate, free will, and the enduring quest for heroism and honor in a world governed by capricious divine forces. In this exploration of the divine and the mortal, classical mythology emerges not just as a repository of ancient beliefs and cultural heritage, but as a living, breathing anthology of stories that continue to inspire, caution, and entertain, a testament to the enduring power of myth to shape, reflect, and enrich the tapestry of human experience. Thank you for joining me today on this journey of learning and discovery as we explored the insights of another thought-provoking book in our growing library of knowledge. If you've enjoyed our time together, please take a moment to follow our podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and share 20-minute books with other knowledge seekers. Your support truly means a lot. Don't forget to join me again in the next episode, where we will delve into another enriching book. Until then, happy reading and happy listening.